We get the great privilege of finishing out our study through this book of Ephesians. And so this morning, we're going to be unpacking the final four verses. And in that, we have two major sections that we're going to work through. First of all, we're going to see a commendation that Paul makes, and then we'll see the final benediction. And so picking up in verse number 21, it says, "But that you also may know about my circumstances, how I'm doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make everything known to you. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, so that you may know about us and that he may comfort your hearts." It's interesting that Paul writes a very strikingly similar passage in his letter to the church in Colossians. And there in Colossians chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, he says it like this: "As to all my affairs, Tychicus, our beloved brother and faithful servant and fellow bond servant in the Lord, will bring you information, for I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts." So this seems to suggest that both letters, the Colossians and Ephesians, were written by Paul approximately the same time, and they were carried by Tychicus from Rome to their respective recipients. And so the first question that comes to mind, at least for me, is, who's Tychicus? What do we know about him? Well, interestingly enough, we know a little bit about him through the scriptures. In Acts chapter 20, we learn that he's a native of Asia and that he was a companion of Paul who often traveled with him. In fact, look at Acts chapter 20, verse number 4. It says, "And he was accompanied by Sopater of Berea, the son of Pyrrhus, and by Aristarchus and Secundus and of Thessalonians, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timothy, and Tychicus, and Trophimus of Asia." So here we find that he's from Asia. We know that he's commissioned by Paul as a messenger to other churches, and we just saw that just a moment ago when we looked at Colossians chapter 4. And there in verse number 7, he says that he's, "As to all my affairs, Tychicus, our beloved brother and faithful servant and fellow bond servant in the Lord, will bring you information." So he was called not only Paul's beloved brother and faithful servant, but in this text, he's also referred to as a bond servant. The Greek is should be accurately translated as slave. That is the more accurate rendering for that word. And so he's a bond slave with Paul in the Lord. We find in other places that he was sent on a special missions to Ephesus. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, it says, "Only Luke is with me. Pick up Mark and bring him with you, for he's useful to me for service. But Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus." So he was also to be sent to Crete for the purpose of relieving Titus. In Titus chapter 3, we find this name again. It says, "When I send Artemis or Tychicus to you, make every effort to come to me at Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter there." So going back to our text this morning, what do we know about this fellow bond servant or slave in the Lord? Well, Paul says three significant things about Tychicus. First of all, he identifies him as a beloved brother. He was a man who had believed in Jesus Christ, and he demonstrated his belief in Christ by serving with Paul faithfully and loving others deeply. So he's identified as a beloved brother. He's also identified as a minister. He was called and gifted by Christ to proclaim the gospel and to minister to the needs of God's people. Tychicus was a man who had a worldwide vision. He gave his life to reach the people of the world with the glorious news of the gospel of Christ Jesus. Note that not only was he a minister, but more specifically, he was a faithful minister. There was no slack or slumber with Tychicus. There was no routineness or slothfulness, no complacency or neglect, no questioning or weakening. He did not fail in his service unto the Lord. He was a faithful minister, faithful in the Lord. Tychicus knew where his strength came from, and he drew upon the strength of the Lord day to day in service of his king. We also know that he's a friend of believers. The text tells us that he's a messenger of encouragement. When Paul's writing this letter, he's writing from a prison, and the believers in Ephesus were concerned about Paul's welfare. And so Paul was concerned that they know just how well he's doing and how his strength is rooted in the Lord, not dependent upon his circumstances. But how was Paul going to communicate this to other believers when he's imprisoned in Rome? He needs help. And that's where Tychicus comes in. He's a close friend, a fellow minister. Note that Tychicus could have had his own ministry. He could have been preaching or witnessing or ministering on his own. Yet here he is, giving his time, giving his energy to labor and to help Paul and to serve alongside Paul and Paul's ministry. So rather than pursuing a ministry on his own, Tychicus faithfully served as a fellow minister with Paul. And the Lord blessed him with a special ministry, a ministry of encouragement. I think there's one more additional characteristic that we learn about this man. Although it's not specifically mentioned, I think we can rightfully infer it from our text this morning. And that final characteristic is that he is a person who embraced faithful anonymity. See, Tychicus is one of those individuals who works behind the scene as a servant of Christ. His ministry wasn't about being center stage. It wasn't about getting the attention for himself. He was more focused about faithfully carrying messages, encouraging saints, and assisting Paul. I think this is striking because, especially in today's age, we live in a culture that seems to celebrate and exalt only the Pauls of this world, the preachers, the teachers, the prominent leaders. And yet the kingdom of God advances not just because of the work of the Pauls, but also because of the work of men like Tychicus, faithful servants and co-laborers in the Lord. To this point, John Stott wrote this. He said, "Without men like Tychicus, the ministry of the apostles would have been impossible. Paul's ministry was public. Tychicus' ministry was private. Paul was spectacular. Tychicus was humble, yet both were necessary." See, there are times when people who faithfully serve in our churches feel unseen, and they think that their contributions are small, and yet Tychicus reminds us that faithfulness in the ordinary service is extraordinary in the eyes of our Lord. So Paul conveys to the Ephesian believers that he's sending Tychicus to them for two main purposes. First of all, Paul wanted to show the churches, he wanted them to know specifically about his circumstances. He wanted them to know how he's doing so that they could pray for him and not worry about him. So in order to do this, he sends his friend. He sends his friend to supply the information, the additional information concerning the specifics of Paul's circumstance. And he states this like three times in different ways in these closing verses. In verse number 21, he says, "That you also may know how I'm doing." And again in verse 21, "And what I am doing." So how I am doing and what I am doing. In verse number 22, he says that you may know how we are. So essentially, Paul's informing them that Tychicus was being sent to them so that he could relay unto them a firsthand account of all that Paul is going through. And then secondly, the second main purpose, was that he was sent in order to encourage their hearts. Note the word that Paul uses in verse 22, that he would comfort your hearts. That word carries the idea of strengthening, encouraging, coming alongside of. Tychicus wasn't just sent to report news. He was sent to minister courage towards the other believers. In a world where discouragement is constant, whether through illness, through suffering, or through the constant noise of bad news, believers today are still in need of ministers like Tychicus, faithful servants who will carry forth the word of life, the word of peace, the word of comfort, the word of the presence of our Lord. And so in the final two verses, he goes from this commendation to his co-laborer to giving us a benediction. And in this benediction, we catch a glimpse of Paul's heart. And so he closes with a twofold benediction. And here's what you need to know about a benediction. A benediction is not a prayer. A benediction simply means a good saying. And so when Paul gives his benediction to his readers or to his hearers, he's speaking as an ambassador of Christ. Going back to verse number 20, he says, "For which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it," he's talking about the mystery of the gospel, "that in proclaiming the mystery of the gospel, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." And so here, as he wraps up his letter, Paul is announcing God's benediction upon his people. And look what he says, verse 23. "Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ with incorruptible love." I think it's important to note that most of the great words of the gospel are contained in this closing benediction. We see the words like peace, love, faith, grace. Let's begin with peace. Paul began his letter in chapter 1, verse number 2. He began his letter with peace, and he closes his letter with peace. See, for the believer, peace is not the absence of trouble. It's about the presence of Christ. And so Paul writes these words about peace, and he writes it from a position of being imprisoned in Rome. And yet, in his chains, he can still declare peace, the peace of Christ. This echoes John chapter 14, verse number 27, when Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, nor fearful." And the other characteristic he mentions is love. More specifically, he says love with faith. Notice that Paul doesn't separate love from faith. See, true faith produces godly love, and true love rests on faith. These two always go together. They're always connected to each other. That's why Paul writes in Galatians chapter 5, verse number 6, he says, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but faith working through love." Faith and love are always connected in the gospel. Then he says grace. So we have the peace, faith and love, and now we see him mention grace. Paul closes with grace, I think, because grace is all-encompassing. Think of it like this. The Christian life begins with grace. It is sustained by grace, and it will end with grace. Why? Because everything depends upon God's grace. Everything depends upon God's unmerited favor unto us. Then he mentions undying love. Paul ends by pronouncing grace on all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with incorruptible love, or another rendering would be undying love. That Greek word, incorruptible, it conveys imperishability, something that cannot decay or rot. And so what it's saying is that our love may sometimes flicker, but Christ gives his people a love that never dies. And this is what Spurgeon has to say about this particular passage. He says, here is the benediction which you may take home with you. If you love Christ with a love that cannot die, grace is with you. You may be the most obscure, the most suffering, the most lonely, but if you love him, grace is with you now and forever. What a glorious news that is. So here's the challenge. Taking the benediction and the commendation, how does that connect with us today? How does this challenge us in our own lives to give thoughtful consideration to how we ought to respond to these closing four verses? I would say this. For those of you that are here and you feel as though you're unseen, just as Tychicus faithfully served without recognition, God calls us to serve in sometimes ways that are unseen. Those that are faithful in praying behind the scenes, writing letters or notes of encouragement to others. May you know that if you're faithfully serving the Lord, what you do for him matters. Even if other people don't see it or don't recognize it, our Father in heaven does. Don't ever forget that. For those that are here discouraged, Paul sends a word of encouragement through a friend. And that reminds us that the Christian life is not meant to be lived alone. We need one another to strengthen each other, to encourage each other, to hold us accountable to who we are and how we live. So the question is, who is your Tychicus? Who is your minister of encouragement? Or maybe even better, the better question is, to whom can you be a minister of encouragement today or in the days ahead? We need to embrace the ministry of encouragement. And for those that are wrestling with assurance, well, Paul's benediction reminds us that the gospel supplies what we need most. And what do we need most? We need the presence of Christ. We need his peace in conflict. We need his love for other people. We need faith in trials. We need grace for our every failure. And those aren't just Paul's words. Those are God's promises. And then for all of us, as Paul closes his letter, he speaks about peace, love, faith, and grace. He speaks of these things over God's people. But these are not some abstract ideas. All of these things flow from the cross of Christ. That's why we gather today to wrap up our time together by sharing communion with one another. Because at the communion table, we remember that peace was purchased by the blood of our Savior. Jesus is God's perfect, redemptive love demonstrated by God through his Son, and made evident to us through the sacrifice of the cross. Our faith is anchored in the resurrection of our Lord. And God's grace is lavishly poured out on all those that will submit and surrender their lives unto Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And so today we come to the Lord's table. And as we come to his table today, let us come not trusting in our own faithfulness or in our own abilities, but resting in the grace of God. I want you to notice how Paul directs everything back to God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, peace, love, faith, grace, these are not virtues that we manifest in our own strength. No, these are gifts that we receive from the one who gave himself up for us. This is why we come to the Lord's table, because here we gather around a visible reminder of what Paul has just proclaimed in his own words. You see, the bread tells us about the body of Christ, how he willingly gave his life as a sacrifice in order to secure our peace. The cup tells of his blood, which he graciously poured out on our behalf so that we can find the forgiveness that we need in and through Christ. The bread and the cup remind us of God's perfect redemptive love demonstrated in and through his Son. And so at the table, we find strength. Strength in our faith as we boldly proclaim his death until he returns. At the table, we're again reminded of Christ's undying love for us. And so let us come to that undying love for the one who has first loved us. As we eat of the bread and drink from the cup, may we be encouraged and encourage one another like Tychicus encouraged the fellow believers in Ephesus. Let us embrace that ministry of encouragement. Let us serve faithfully and sacrificially. Whether we get the attention or not, let us know that God sees and is aware of all of our faithful works that are done for his glory and for the good and for the strengthening of the church. And today we get to wrap all of this up in the most beautiful of ways by partaking of the cup and the bread together. And so today you're invited to come and to receive communion. We're not passing the elements to you today. We're extending an invitation for you to come to the table. Before we do that, and before we extend that invitation, we ought to pray. Give thoughtful consideration to God's word today. Give appropriate reflection on our own hearts and lives. Confessing of sins if they need be necessary, so that we can come and we can partake of this in a manner and in a way that does not dishonor our Lord in any way. So before we come to the table, let's pray. And I'll lead us through that prayer time. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the peace that comes only through the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross for us. Father, we thank you for the love that you have poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, a love that never fails and never fades. God, we thank you for the gift of faith by which we hold fast to Christ and his promises. And God, we thank you for your grace, the grace which covers our sins, that sustains us in our weakness, and that will ultimately carry us home until the very end. And Father, as we come to this table, we confess our love for our Lord Jesus Christ. Even when that love is often frail and faltering, Father. But his love for us is never frail. It never falters. His love for us is strong, is incorruptible, and is eternal. So, Father, help us. Help us to eat and to drink with grateful hearts, remembering the sacrifice of Christ, proclaiming his death, and renewing our devotion to him until that day when he returns in glory. And Father, we ask all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Redeemer, our King. It is in his name that we offer this prayer. Amen, amen, amen.